Beautiful song. If you can please kneel. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much the way that you bless us each and every day. Again, thank you for keeping us safe during that blizzard and everything work out. And please bless us, Father, with your presence as we go into the Word. And please change the showbread as you promised to do every Sabbath. And please bless our hearts with more truth and a desire to walk closer to you. We look around and we see all the crazy things that are happening in this world, and we know. We know what time it is. And so thank you for blessing us with that wisdom, but at the same time, please give us many souls to share it with. We never know who's watching. We never know who's listening. But at the same time, we know that if we walk with your Son, even a smile that we offer instead of a frown can move a heart. And so thank you for blessing us with opportunities to do that. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, the cleansing from all unrighteousness, the blessing of the latter rain, and everything that we need, including the hedge of angels, so that we can continue to walk with you and glorify you. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior. He is our King. He is our Commander. And our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, ye, that's me included, we all are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That's right, the Lord has lifted us up, you know, as examples. And then Jesus goes on to say, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. It also says in Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 23, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. The Apostle Luke also shares what Jesus says regarding this in chapters 8 and 11, but it's no different than what we see here in Matthew and Mark. And yes, this is a rather simple parable to see. Well, that's only because most of us already have light that allows us to see it, and that is the main crux of the parable. Since we have this light, we can see the truth of Christ. Why would any of us want to hoard it like the Jews of old did for so long? I mean, after all, as the Lord predicted here, his truth will be broadcast far and wide, just like putting a candle up there. I mean, this is why he said there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested. But, of course, only those with ears can hear such things. That is why the Jews refused to share the truth with the people. Their ears were listening to all Satan was saying instead, and he got them to believe they should, you know, steer clear of everybody else. I mean, because they would be defiled by simply breathing the same air as the people God sent their way. Still, even when they did this, the Lord still sent him prophets, you know, all his prophets, and who did have the ears that heard his call, you know, to proclaim what the Jews refused to proclaim. And so, as it was then, it shall be now. The truth will be manifested and nothing's going to be hid. That's especially true for today, in that all need to make that final decision regarding the soon enforced mark of the beast. Some of us have even had revelation in this respect, where we know when we go forth and we declare this truth to some people, it's going to come out of our mouths by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be said in ways that there's no way on earth or in heaven or in the universe that the people hearing would misunderstand. It's going to be that clear. The other sobering reality, and by the way, that's already started, but the other sobering reality here is found that all things are going to be manifested is what's also found in Ecclesiastes 12:14, which says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. You know, we were kind of touching on this last night. You know, some people think that, well, you know, since I didn't get caught, no biggie. You know, God saw it, and it's going to be shouted from the rooftops at the end of the 1,000 years. Oh, yeah, but, you know, that's way, way in the future. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's still going to happen, you know? So with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, you know, just as this truth will be manifested far and wide, so will the lies of hell. In fact, Luke chapter 12, verses 2 to 3 also says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. See how those permutations of one simple parable can go in all these different directions? It's amazing. But again, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. This is why many of us, myself included, have such a burden for those that leave our number and then lash out with lies and hatred. And this has been going on since 30-some years ago, you know, when I met Christ. I mean, so this is par for the course. He taught me that early on. The Lord knows all that was said in secret, as well as that which was broadcast for all to hear. And if not repented of, it will be repeated in a day wherein those speaking it will realize abject terror. They're their own worst enemies. For it was also penned and even spoken by the Lord Jesus himself in Matthew 12:36, that he said, I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You know, just as the truth must never be placed under a bushel, the lies must also be put forth so as to prove to all the graphic differences between the two. It's called the Great Controversy. Because we are Christians, and because we have the light, we are then declared to be the light of the world that spreads the gospel message to all. And so, this is the superior duty of the bride of Christ. It says in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? You know, one of the reasons, you know, Paul saying this to the Romans, it's also to echo the fact that, you know, you remember what the Jews used to do? Yeah, they don't know anything about Messiah, the people that all around them, because they never told them. How will they hear without a preacher, it goes on to say. And how many times have you heard me or others in the church family that speak in this church say that you might be the only Bible some people read? As followers of Jesus Christ, we must let the light of truth shine forth in how we live our lives and share our faith so as to dispel the moral darkness of a world that is literally dying in sin all around us. I mean, they're dropping like flies everywhere. Even though they're still walking around alive, you know, dead men walking, they're dropping like flies. Yes, sir. There are those that hate the truth, and as prophesied, they're going to be there all the way up until that seventh plague falls anyway, but there's no changing that. So, but we have a better and blessed calling to go forth as those prophesied to have the light of the world, the light that the world, rather, needs to see. Because we are the light of the world. We're set on a hill. And before we get all puffed up in our hearts, as the Pharisees of old did, so as to forget our calling to seek a pride-filled personage of self, as the leaders of most of the churches still do to this day, who in fact emulate the same pride of being some sort of celebrity on a red carpet of sin, it is declared plainly in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, what then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both, Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So horn tooting is a waste of time. Yes, we are called to be the light of the world, as Jesus said in the parable, but we have to remember that we have no self-generated or self-manifested light within us. It is the light of heaven that we are to reflect to the world, not the light of self. All too often, some that are called to high positions in the church are tempted to think they are self-made ministers or self-ordained in some way so as to glorify their own walks when it's Christ, our righteousness. I cannot tell you how many emails I get a month now from people claiming to be prophets or leaders sent directly from heaven itself. I kid you. I mean, I get a lot of them. Each and every one of them never respond to the email I send them back that says in a nutshell that if you truly were a prophet of God, you would never seek glory to self by announcing yourself a prophet of God. Unless, of course, you're, you know, hanging around in some city and a guy named Saul comes looking for you, he kind of misplaced his donkeys. He's looking for the seer. Well, then, yeah, you got to answer the question. But you don't go out there with a neon sign declaring yourself a prophet. I mean, for it's clear in the hearts of his people as well as his written form from the Old Testament to the New that it is only the Lord that is to be glorified. The crowns are going to be placed at his feet, not ours. Plus, if they were prophets, why is it they always seem to repeat that which has already been written in the Word of God as if it's some brand new revelation from God himself? Yeah, and I get the Romans 10, 14 theology. I understand sharing scripture to highlight a word of knowledge given unto those that have yet to read the word, but to declare unto me and everyone else that God has especially called you to tell me that the world is coming to an end is not something his people are unaware of. I mean, even non-believers know that now. So if we seek to glorify self, then like the Pharisees of old that demanded all under them must look upon them as holy, we will be seen as such by those we demand the same from. And in so doing, we're going to be no closer to heaven than the reprobate reveling in sin. Did not Jesus say in Matthew 6, verses 1 and 5, that we should take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them? We were just talking about that in the study earlier, about the little widow just sticking those two mites in there. Jesus goes on to say, otherwise, if you do it that way, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, they got what they wanted. The reason Jesus said that they had their reward is because they cultivated, they nurtured, and they downright demanded praise of men. And that is exactly what they got. No blessing from the Lord, no closer to his truth, and certainly nowhere near the gates of paradise, because only those that glorify Christ can enter therein. Our innermost thoughts and purposes of mind are always going to dictate our every step. You can't hide this from a God who reads your heart. I mean, there's no getting around the basic fact of life, no matter how much we try. Atheist or believer, doesn't matter. He's still going to read your heart. This is what determines our character. This is what dictates if we are placing the light on a candlestick or placing it underneath a bushel instead. I mean, truth is, you don't have to express your prideful thoughts to those around you in order for it to become sin, which leads to damnation anyway. I mean, your Heavenly Father not only reads your heart, he knows exactly why you do the things you do. If you are one to do the kind act so others may see you do it, well, then like the hypocrites Jesus spoke of, you too have your reward. You got what you wanted. You won't gain heaven doing that, but you're going to gain that slap on the back from mankind. And sadly for such as these, that's really what they wanted anyway. They cannot see what Christ has to offer because they really don't want it, if it's going to rock their boat or if it prevents them from continuing on play-acting their role as a Christian, like Isaiah chapter 4 talks about. I mean, such as these want everything he declares is harmful. I mean, they are the epitome of those found wanting. I mean, in such sinful and self-centered thoughts are left, if these self-centered thoughts are left unchecked, they will eventually be seen in word and deed, to the point absolutely everyone around you is going to know who you seek to glorify, and it won't be Christ. Yes, you may claim Christ Lord, as those in Isaiah 4 verse 1 do, but you would be one that placed the candle under the bushel, because it's going to reveal some of the things you're doing ain't what Christians do. You don't want no light shining in that area, do you? And sadly, whenever anyone steps up to alert you of that bushel, some people get upset, and then they lash out. I'm reminded of a man I knew many years ago that owned a business that sold investment products. I was hired on by him, as were many others, and after a few weeks, there was a huge meeting wherein all the staff was to meet at some rented hall, kind of like a reception hall. I thought it was kind of odd because I had work to do, but yeah, I was new to the company, and I had no idea what all of this was about, so I just followed along and did what they told me to do because, I got to get paid. And when I got there, I saw something I thought was only fictionalized in Hollywood movies. I mean, I never saw anything like this before in my life, and I still haven't seen it since. I kid you not, this man was literally surrounded by an entourage of worshipers like none I've ever seen. And yeah, we've all seen entourages. We could see the long lines. I saw a video once of Obama's entourage. It took all of 10 minutes for those cars to drive by doing 60. 10 minutes. And we all see how, you know, Hollywood does it when they advertise it. But this was off the chart. I mean, they treated him like he was a celebrity. Yeah, okay, no brainer, because he was the owner of the company. And they clamored to his every whim as he walked about the hall. I mean, it was like he was the nucleus, and the atoms were just floating around him. And when he motioned his hand in a certain way, like putting up two fingers, someone would run up and put a cigarette between those two fingers. And then another guy would race up and light it. That is exactly what they were doing. And at first, I thought it was all a joke because it was designed to make, you know, me and a couple of the other guys that are new feel uneasy. I thought that, you know, come on, they're just yanking our chain, making it, you know, seeing if we'll do it. You know, just to laugh at us after it's all said and done. But after a half an hour or so, I realized this is how this guy prefers it. He eventually sauntered in my direction. And being a new guy, he assumed I would just fall in line with all the rest. Kind of like some sort of mentally connected mule train. I don't know. It was just strange. I never seen anything like it. And when I refused to do so, and even chuckled a bit because it just seemed odd, he walked off in a huff. And a few of his lackeys reprimanded me for hurting his feelings, confirming this was no joke. Needless to say, I quit that job and never went back. But the reason I shared this is because I've seen Christians do this. I mean, not that graphic, but, you know, I mean, but the exact same self-serving spirit was there, wherein it was clear that anyone around them had to understand that it was their way or the highway. And if you didn't go along with what they believed on this doctrine or what they believed on that doctrine, even though they could not use scripture to back any of their claims up, and we ask them sometimes, all of us have had people like this in our lives, you are then considered evil and cast off as a non-believer and even ridiculed out loud because you want to walk with Christ, not man's idea of Christ. Yeah, that's the extreme end of the spectrum, but it does happen quite often. To this day, I've seen many men and women of God over the years start off on the right foot and with a very well-lit candle proclaiming their faith in the Lord and His truth. But the moment they forget their duty to reflect the light of truth as it is written in the Word, and not so as to bask in the limelight of pride, and that doesn't happen often because this usually only happens to, you know, church leaders, but in that respect with the pride thing, but they fall into self, and as prophesied, their bright light from heaven goes out under a bushel. Just as surely as it did when Adam and Eve bit into that fruit. The light went off, they realized they were naked. All on their own, standing there flesh and bone. That robe was gone. We can never be partakers of the divine nature if the lusts of the flesh dictate our every move. If God says His will is such and such a way, we should never add to or take away from that which is written. You know, to be that light that is not hidden under a bushel means we are to proclaim what Jesus has done for us in any way we can. Now, if you have the ability to speak, well, then speak. Speak that which He has revealed unto you. If you are better with the pen on paper, well, then by all means, write some tracts, even small booklets, or even write a book describing all that He has done for you. If you are one that has been given the desire as well as the means to help those in need, then you must do as the Lord leads. There are just as many ways to let your light shine as there are stars in heaven. I mean, as we know, the obedient child of God is to be Christ's representative on earth before we can reign with Him in New Jerusalem. Okay, we get that. But we are to show the world the renovating power of divine grace. Just about everyone on earth, and this includes those that claim Christ Lord, are walking around in a daze, clamoring after every strange religious ritual they can find that appeals to the flesh, wherein they feel satisfied or sanctified in some way, and less judged for embracing sin. On the other hand, because the guy they're sitting next to in the pew, he believes the way they do, even though they know it's not right. But since everybody else is doing it. You know, this is why so many people go to church on Sunday and embrace all the so-called religious holidays. They feel it's their duty because the pomp and circumstance of it all is so well promoted by the wolves they call pastors that it truly appears as the norm for the Christian church today. And it's exactly what was prophesied. We, the remnant church, are all called to be living, breathing epistles of the truth of God. known and read of all men, so that in so doing, those looking on that seek truth can actually see how Christ really does reveal himself in his people, just as Peter's speech gave him away the night they took off our Lord, took our Lord out of the garden, you know, to do what they did to him. I mean, in fact, this is exactly how I found Jesus Christ was real before bowing to him in worship 31 plus years ago. I watched people he transformed, and I saw a real change in them, just as the people saw in the apostles 2,000 years ago. Even though they didn't have all the truth as we know it today, they still placed their candle just as high to where, I mean, high enough to where I could clearly see Jesus Christ was real. You know, because I didn't understand the truth either as well as I should or could, and neither did they. But what they understood, they ran with, just like Legion. I mean, look at the guy, the thief on the cross. That guy wasn't no theologian, but Jesus said he's going to be in heaven. They ran with what they understood. That's all I've ever been doing. I'm no theologian. I also watched these people for as long as possible, too, to make sure it wasn't just some spur-of-the-moment kind of change wherein they eventually go back to their old ways once that rough trial that they're going through is over. Especially for the one guy that I was looking at, he had some heavy times behind bars if he got convicted. After the court proceedings were over and he no longer had to fear the consequences, he actually remained a Christian. The reason I mention that is because you cannot be a light unto the world if the only reason you're accepting Christ as Savior is because you fear some great trial you're in. Jesus Christ is not proclaimed in the Word of God as a lousy, rather, you know, God, if you will. I mean, sure, he will be there for you when the times are rough, but he's also going to be there for you when the times are good and they're going well. But when the rough days end, some people figure, well, they can just go back to their old ways. But those that walk with him know that it says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, which is, wherefore let him think that he standeth, take heed, lest you fall. Our walk with Christ must be a daily testimony against sin, as well as the sinners that watch us, as well as to glorify Christ himself. Testimony of truth. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, they're watching us. They're watching us like hawks. I know that for a fact because I was one that watched people without their knowledge. So if I did it, I'm sure many others are doing it as well. It's just how it works. I mean, after all, why else would Jesus declare we are to be the light of the world if people weren't going to watch us? I mean, just as a flash of light way off in the distance can catch our attention at night, so does the light of Christ catch the attention of those seeking a way out of their darkness. I remember one time we were living outside of this little town in Illinois. It was like a mile of soybean fields. It was winter. And a mile or two between me and the farmer that was on the edge of town. And it was midnight. It was just pitch black outside. And all of a sudden there was this bright light out in the middle of the field somewhere. He was just burning this little small piece of magnesium. You ever seen magnesium burn? You can't look at it. It's like looking at a welding torch when it's hitting that metal. It's just, and this was, it had to be 2 miles away. Some of the kids may remember that. It's way out there. And it burned. You can't put that out either. You could throw as much water on there as you want. It ain't going to go out. This reminds me of Christ. We're out there in the middle of, I mean, look at the earth. It's just darkness. That's why a lot of you have those dreams about night. We're towards the end. And everywhere you look, people are living in darkness. And all of a sudden, there's just blast of light. Hey, a Christian just walked into the room, or a Christian just walked down the road. Just like Peter looked different and talked differently. We do too. We're just peculiar, you know, but not in a bad way. They notice this. Jesus is waiting to impute his righteousness to every sincere, repentant soul. And he needs you and I to be the people so as to help them see they can receive it because we did. We truly do work as a body of Christ. And I must say, we work pretty good together. best church I've ever been in my life. And I've been in a few. The amazing thing is, many of us work together for the glorification of Christ, and we don't even know each other. I mean, what I mean is, yeah, those of us here, we do know each other as far as possible in an online sort of way. And some of us have met face-to-face in our little gatherings the last few years. But there are others out there that believe, as we do, that we have yet to meet, yet they too are used by Jesus, like you and I are, in the same way. So when we are obedient, now check this out, when we are obedient to the task at hand, when the soul we're working with comes across another real Christian, it could be a year from now, on the other side of the planet even, the words we shared a year earlier, in the Western Hemisphere, let's say, are sometimes repeated by Christians way on the other side of the planet a year later. And so the candle of truth lights up even brighter so as to make it that much easier for them to see what needs to be seen. I mean, basic reality here is confirmation like that in the seasoned Christian is just as powerful in the newborn seeker. After all, have you ever noticed that everyone who makes that final decision to walk with Christ usually manifests a zeal and devotion in the service of God so as to share the light of truth with as many as they possibly can? I mean, some people marvel at the complexity of the global network we call the Internet, but this thing pales in comparison to the network of light from the Holy Spirit as it beams forth from soul to soul, which brings me to a revelation the Lord gave to me when I was in study Thursday morning. The Lord revealed to me that our church is a testing ground for the Gideon band, who must stand alone during the plagues on that day. Without a brick-and-mortar church, we do not have the ability to see and be with each other weekly or even daily, as some do all around the world. Therefore, we, as the bride of Christ, must learn to walk all by ourselves, without the brother or the sister nearby to help sharpen our iron. The Gideon band's a special breed of Christians. We know this. We've been studying about this for years. And yes, we have seen over the years, some in our number simply can't handle that. They crave physical fellowship. And there's nothing wrong with that, if it's kept in perspective, though. But for some who cannot handle it, when left alone, they will eventually seek out companionship in a church or a relationship that is not wise. I've heard people, I don't know how many times, says, look, it's the only church that comes close to what I believe in, so I go there. You know, why don't you just jump in a flaming fire, an inferno? What's the difference? I mean, how could two walk together except they be agreed? You can't do that. And so these new friends or these new acquaintances will eventually lure them away from the Lord, and his special plans for them are done. Many of us in this church family have seen that happen many times in just the last few years alone. As I said all along, I do believe the Lord has us meet like this online for a reason. First and foremost being when the latter rain finally does fall more abundantly as it's promised, and since all the other prophecies have happened, how can that one miss? Being as widely scattered as we are, we will be more effective when we go forth. And we're already used to doing this on our own. You know, because I can remember when one of the reasons the Lord allowed me to have that, I'm not going to call it entrepreneurial spirit. It was the training, what I saw, how he trained me as I walked through life to eventually get to a place where I had a sales job where I was my own boss. A lot of people can't do that. They got to have somebody watching over them. Well, it's obvious. The majority of the people in this church don't have a problem there. You can do it on your own because you know it's not about who's next to you. It's about who's in you. And then number two, like John the Baptist, who spent most of his time alone before going forth with his heaven-sent light of truth, we too will be able to handle situations and handle standing alone and unshaken in the light of faith when we go forth during the loud cry, as well as during the plagues if we're going to be part of that number. Well, no one else is going to listen anyway, but we're still going to be there to glorify Christ throughout the entire universe then. And yes, the attacks we see now are to help us stand firm in the light, no matter what they throw at us. And think about this too. Lies have no power when they attack. There's no power there. Lies will eventually stop one day. Truth never ends. Because the author of truth is a living God. So again, the attacks we see now are to help us stand firm in the light, no matter what they throw at us. We ain't going through anything right now major, but over the years we have seen some pretty big whoppers come against us, and we always stand firm. Because we also know all the world will surround us as the eastern sky splits if we're going to be part of that number. And so if we can't handle these little trials now, how are we going to handle a whole crowd of people standing around us if we're stepping out of a cave on that day, or coming out of a hovel, or the forest, or coming off a mountain? The one man that I watched many years ago was tagged a Jesus freak by all my siblings, because Satan knows how being tagged as such scares some people away from accepting Christ as Lord, because they don't want to be ridiculed like that. So that's the other toss of the coin now. Yet even though everyone made fun of him, that light he had to offer was exactly what I needed to see at that time. So we got to stand firm just like every other Christian does. Let them laugh at you. Let them wag their heads. Remember them wagging their heads when Christ was hanging there for them? He was there dying for them so they don't have to die, and they were wagging their heads anyway. I mean, still, that one small candle that I saw in that guy, wasn't where it ended for me. I mean, back then, when I saw those people coming towards me almost daily that had Bibles in their hands, or strange smiles that I've never seen before, that had a loving nature to them because, you know, Chicago area, I didn't understand what was happening. And yes, I know, I see that it was the body of Christ working together, wherein Jesus directed each person to approach me via his heavenly network of believers with words of light and truth, even though none of them knew each other and none of them knew me from Adam. And that really hit me. I mean, this heavenly network of witnesses overwhelmed me so much that I decided to get a Bible one day. Yeah, I went to the Bible for all the wrong reasons, of course. I actually got it so I could learn how to shut them up, because they kept telling me I was going to hell because I was a Catholic. But as I have been praising the Lord for now over 3 decades, I discovered they were right, and it was my Lord Jesus who sent each and every one of those people, Christians, on an individual basis, just as he sends each and every one of us to do the same thing each and every day, whether we realize it or not. Because we truly don't know who's watching or who's looking at us for the light of truth when we have to share it. You know, we just don't know. And they could be watching you for years, just waiting for you to slip up. And boy, are they desperately waiting for you to slip up, because they want to figure, like, well, okay, it's impossible. If that guy can't do it, I can't. But the fact is, the Lord does know who needs to see the truth, and so he is going to make sure some come to where we are, because as the parable illustrates, this is just how he does it. That all being said, think about this for a minute. Even though you may only get a chance to share your faith with one soul a week, share it anyway, because you may be the very one that finally says something that strikes their heart so deep they eventually give up on all the sin that's making them miserable and bow to Christ as Lord and Savior and become one with us and make it home. And yes, you have to realize that you may never even know this person accepted Christ the Savior because of something the Lord moved your lips to say one day. I mean, it's very probable the day you shared a speck of light with them that they acted as if they were laughing it off. You know, they made fun of you. They walked away. Some even just walk away in a huff too and get angry. I remember one guy telling me, "Thanks for messing up my day," because I told him drunkards weren't allowed in heaven. He says, "You didn't believe me." He says, "Well, you got a Bible?" Because he had one. He said, "Go to 1 Corinthians 6:10. He read it out loud, threw the Bible down on the picnic table, and walked away in a huff. He was angry. But it hit him like a ton of golden bricks from the city of New Jerusalem. I know this is true because there were times I heard things that shocked me to the core back then when it was all I compiled in my heart with other significant points of light the Lord sent via his obedient flock, which, by the way, was also part of the Lord's plan, and it eventually made me bow to Jesus as Savior. It wasn't just one person. I mean, it's like that Heavenly Network. It was amazing how many people. People were handing me books when I was a teenager with the covers ripped off that I later found out who actually wrote the books. You know, in fact, I'm sure many of us have had these similar experiences in life. I'm not the only one. I know. I hear some of these testimonies. This is just how our Lord works sometimes, and it doesn't always have to be done in the same way. Just as every snowflake is different, so is every heart we come across in life going to be different. Some will be violently shaken to their knees after some extreme trial in life, or some will simply bow down in tears with a gentle joy instead when they find him. Still, we must place that light of truth on its lampstand anyway, so that those that need to see it can have an opportunity to see it. Because you don't know. I mean, who knows? Like when you get to heaven, all of a sudden you look at your crown and you think, look, I know for a fact I only talked to 3 or 4 people in my life. Lord, what are these stars? There's so many on here. He says, yeah, well, some people watched you and you didn't even know it. And they accepted me as Savior because they saw the way you acted in certain situations. In our zeal for the truth, as he has revealed it to us, we cannot desert the post of duty whenever it gets rough or whenever we feel a little bit too shy to hand somebody a track. He's going to pull you out of your shell. Ask him to. He'll do it. As the remnant of her seed, we know what it's like to be in a dead church wherein no prayers are answered and no truth presented. Once leaving apostasy, as we all have done, we can only be a diligent student of the scriptures who will follow the light as it shines upon our pathway. We really do follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And when they don't want to preach him in those churches, he's not there. And so guess what? We're not there either, because we're following the Lamb, and he didn't go there. When we come across a new truth, we don't stop to wonder what our friends or our loved ones may think of us when we embrace and share that truth. I mean, we have been on both sides of the fence, and we know this well-lit side of truth is the only safe place to be. I mean, we can see that clearly thanks to all the light we've received over the years, and I must say it's far more embarrassing to walk away from the Lord than it is to walk with the scoffers who laugh at our newfound faith. I mean, still, as the parable intimates, some that come into the truth will place their light under a bushel or under a bed so as to prevent losing friends or loved ones they deem more valuable than the love of Christ himself. For such as these, Jesus declared in Matthew 10, verses 37 to 40, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And knowing this duty, and being obedient to the calling, we will do what others refuse to do. And we will do so fearlessly, because Jesus also said in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Hope and pray you're blessed. We have done. Amen. Please kneel. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very, very much for the changing of the showbread. Thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence and the bridling of tongues. Thank you so much for answered prayer. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that come, because we truly do strive on to that perfection, Father, and we know there's a lot of dross we got to burn off. And so thank you for helping us get there, so that we can stand firm. We can hold that candle well lit on its candlestick. And we can go forth and proclaim Christ Lord no matter what. Thank you for giving us the courage, the wisdom, the peace, and the character of your Son. And thank you for blessing every single soul that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that come against us. We lift up all those that are sick, be it physical or spiritual sickness. And thank you for blessing us with answered prayers in areas that are very concerning for us. And thank you again, Lord, for accepting this prayer. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.